Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good. So on today's episode, you're going to hear a conversation with Tay and Gabriel Diggs. Tay and Oliver, they've known each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Many years.
But this
years.
Was the
Almost
first 20 time
years.
You've gotten to know Gabriel.
I've known Gabriel. I didn't know him in this capacity. I mean, we obviously got into some deep stuff. But I've known Gabriel.
He was honestly the most beautiful.
He's like a shining bright light.
Ray of sunshine.
The most optimistic person I think I've ever encountered.
I was so taken by him, and he really does. It's the optimism.
His
has that optimistic
is overflowing. Yeah,
I just loved him.
And Tay is equally as bright. I mean, how about that, man?
Well, and they really opened up about their childhood, and it's one of our, I think, more serious episodes that we've done so far.
Yeah, all the stuff. But it was interesting because I've known Tay for a long time, and our relationship is deep, but it's also very funny. I mean, we live in comedy, and we like making each other laugh. And I would assume we would come on here and talk about some interesting things, but we actually got into a space of real depth and them sort of talking about their childhood, how they grew up, and the different perspectives, how Tay saw his father one way and how Gabriel saw him another.
Tay and Gabriel got a lot closer later in life. So when they grew up, it was different. Then they got closer later in life, worked together. And honestly, this was a joy of a podcast for us. And I think there was some real funny moments or some light moments. But all in all, they really trusted the space. And even Gabriel, I remember one time during the interview, he said, "Is this all right for me to get into with Tay?" And Tay's like, "Oh, yeah." You know?
Yeah. No, it was nice. It was nice that they could actually be that truthful and authentic and open up like that.
I also think that stories like that are important to talk about because it lets people out there know that there's ways to heal those moments in your life and the importance of that relationship.
I think their story can be very helpful for a lot of people who are maybe listening to this who've gone through similar situations.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so, I love when people come on here and they start talking about things where, you know, they didn't really expect to. And I think that sort of happened in this space.
It's about connection. Mm-hmm. All we want to talk about is why we become who we become and what our connections were in our life and why this relationship of siblings is so important. Sometimes we're dealt a hand that is traumatic and very challenging. And then you have a family dynamic that can actually be your great support system. And I think that's what I gathered from Tay and Gabriel.
And I think that they help each other. You know, it's really interesting because there is an age difference. And again, Gabriel's perspective being that of optimism, in a sense, I think probably has had an effect on Tay and the way that he has sort of even perceived, affected his perception even just a little bit.
I also just want to like throw this in there. Gabriel is so well-spoken. He's so eloquent. He's so lovely. He's a handsome man. So I'm going to start with that. I also want to say that Tay Diggs is still so hot.
Oh, God, he's so hot.
It's like crazy. I mean, honey, I'm sorry I'm saying this.
He knows
because I've said this in front of Danny. I mean,
he doesn't age, first of all.
He doesn't. How old is Tay now?
I think he's like 63.
He is fine as can
he's
be.
Fine. Ugh. But also he's just on the inside too.
Just
I mean,
the
man is just so shiny and positive and fun and hysterical and can dance like a motherfucker. And he's just You just want to be around him.
I know.
You just want to be around him.
I have so much fun when Tay comes around to parties too, because he dances. We have much fun dancing with Tay.
And he's curious.
He's such a good dancer.
And he's a curious, curious man. And I love that about him. And he's not afraid to ask you questions that some people may shy away from, because he's just genuinely curious about how you are, how you might think about something.
Yeah, it's true. I want to get back to his dancing, because I don't even mean dancing like he can move. I mean dancing like literally dancing.
Oh, he's like trained.
Like trained dancing. Like you could go into a whole routine on the dance floor with Tay.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it could go from like having a nice kind of up in the club moment to literally him and I could have like a Ginger Rogers Fred Astaire moment, you know? And I just like, oh my God. Take my breath away. Sorry, I just have to say that. He's a fine young man.
He is a fine young
old
man.
Old 63-year-old man.
He is 63, but he looks great.
Anyway, this is
Tay and Gabriel Diggs. Love you, boys.
Your brother's trying to find the house right now.
While he's not here... growing up, was Tay like a good brother, or was he like a sweet brother? How many years difference are you? Five.
So there's 6 years between myself and my brother. And it was, since the younger four kids, we're all like maybe a year apart. So we had like a kind of a closer kind of a thing. And my brother was like the satellite. And we were always looking up to him, and he always had his own friends in the neighborhood. I'm probably giving so much. He's going to want to be here to hear all this, him.
I'll tell him.
He was like a VIP in the house. Oh, good. Here he comes. Here he comes. All right, he's walking in now.
I'm so happy. I am. Thank you for doing this.
Oh,
man.
Please.
Tay
man.
And I, you know what I just did? Because we just did a podcast, just Katie and I. She wanted me to end it with a freestyle. And so she put a beat on. And that was how we met, basically.
Yeah.
on a little movie called My New Best Friend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then I met Gabe back then, too, when you had dreads.
Yeah. Long.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Down here.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, that's when I met you. Was way back.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And we were just sitting here. I was getting acquainted with your bro.
Well, then, no, this is good. Let's start from the beginning, though.
Start from the beginning.
So we grew up in Rochester. It's a city in upstate New York, very vibrant and metropolitan place. Scott, you went ahead.
He's laughing.
He's still you got my
do you have a nickname?
Brother. I know.
Do you have a nickname?
I
hear him talking.
I did have a nickname. My dad used to call me Butter.
Butter?
Butter?
Oh, yeah, because.
Right. Oh, Butter.
Okay, but not like brother. Butter. That's too cool.
Like Butter.
It wasn't like, oh, he was smooth. He's like Butter. Right. It was because somebody couldn't pronounce.
I thought brother. You called me Brother, and then like Shalom was like Butter or somebody.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. I don't know.
Oh, it was like Butter.
Yeah, because I was his first brother.
One of the little kids called you Brother. And it was, oh my God.
You guys are all full blood.
Yes, well.
They are. The four of them are, you're getting some news here because I'm just recently, in the past couple of years, admitting, I forgot. And then later in life, for some reason, people start to ask more often. I have a different father.
Mm-hmm.
The four of them have the same mother and father. So we all share
the same mother.
Mm-hmm. I was around first. So I saw all of them.
Okay, and you didn't know that he wasn't your father? Was that what happened?
No, I knew. But
okay, you knew. Okay.
You knew it was your
I was around.
You knew it was your stepdad.
Yeah, cuz I met him.
Right.
And all that.
Right.
But none of us knew.
I met him and it was like, "Oh, I guess I'm living
We never
with
got
you
to
now.
Meet him, so we never knew.
Oh, when did you guys find out?
I can't even remember the year, but of course not in the beginning.
So you guys didn't know that he was your half brother.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
This is good.
Until
isn't it?
Way later.
Isn't it?
Until way later.
And I don't even know.
I think it was like Gregory Street house that we were living in that we figured
out.
Yeah,
there are.
How old were you at chunks, the time?
Maybe like 11, 12, 10, 11,
and
12.
So you were like dancing and singing somewhere at 17, right? While they were figuring out that you were a half brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not caring.
Yeah, no, I mean, because it was,
we didn't treat it.
I think because it would have been different if he was maybe a younger sibling. Yeah, you would have looked at him like, hey, but he was like the we all looked up to him, so we didn't care.
Yeah, that's what you were saying, that it was like them. They were this sort of the younger kids.
Right.
And then
Tay was always like the satellite. He right. was this.
Well, I'm like a god. I'm a, like right. a yeah, like a Jesus, well, or, yeah. or like a Messiah. Or,
you're like me,
right, exactly. Man, similar, I'm sort of like Jesus.
It's black Jesus. This is right, firstborn Jesus. Shit that's happening right now.
Right?
Full. Oh yeah.
Full. Oh, Oliver, firstborn.
We are black Jesus.
Firstborn.
Both of us together are black Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, I'm a pretty white Jesus, but I'm Italian, so maybe I could be like an Italian Jesus.
So, mom's name?
Marcia.
Mm-hmm. Dad.
Jeffries is his full name.
My stepdad, Jeffries. My real dad's name was Andre.
Andre?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's five of you. Mm-hmm. You're middle. Give us the where you grew up. What did the house look like?
Yeah, the rundown.
The rundown.
The kids, what it was like to be a family, good, it's bad, the ugly.
It's a good title, the rundown. We moved around a lot. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna get two different sides.
Yeah, you are.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. there's the way I remember before. It,
and the way Gabriel remembers it.
All right. Why don't we
go outside of them?
Let's go, young brother. Okay. First. All right. I want to hear your perspective. Like this is interesting.
So the house that I was born was at North Glen Drive, I think.
Yep.
But I don't remember. I was way too young, so I didn't know anything about that house.
Where you were born?
Yeah. We were there for like maybe a couple years or something. And then we moved to a place in a town just outside of Rochester called Henrietta. And it's just an amazing, incredible community. You know, it's quiet.
Upper middle class black folk, mm-hmm. which is what I
right.
I'll wait from my perspective. No,
no, go, okay, go, but go, like go, go. Sidewalks. Was it like a sidewalks street,
like
small
two
little...
parks?
It was
pool.
It was a development.
Yep. So the way my mom told us about it, they wanted to make this like a kind of mini city where it had like a dentist in there and a library and schools in there. It was like a new concept that I think HUD was developing. And we didn't know this as kids. Are just like, hey, we're going outside to play. But it was perfect. It was very quiet. Cool. It was very safe.
Grow up, yeah. Very safe.
And that was like your primary. That's what
yes,
became your primary.
That's what
home.
We remember the most. The best memories are kind of.
And there. What about your other siblings? Like, were you guys close? Was everyone close?
From my perspective, the four of them were close. I always felt like the babysitter, so I didn't consider myself close to them. I couldn't stand being around them because it was like I was bait. You know what I mean? So I had to make the best of it. So whatever I was doing, they had to do.
Right.
So we'd play soccer. We'd play mostly soccer.
Yeah,
bikes.
You played a lot. Uh-huh.
But, you know, once I was able to get out, I got out.
Oh, you mm-hmm.
didn't fuck with them, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like
yes.
That was
yeah.
That.
No, yeah.
It was a lot.
You were
old enough to where it was like you had four younger siblings that were all around the same age, and you were like 6 years older than them. Yes.
And so you were relied on to take care of them. And
not
you were like,
relied, expected.
Expected. Right. And you were like, fuck this.
There was no choice.
Yeah, you couldn't really have a childhood yourself.
Yeah, a little, okay. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a
childhood. Gabriel's like, yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, it's what is a childhood, but I just remember... You know, there were really cool people that I wanted to hang out with that I had the opportunity to, but couldn't all the time because I had to mess with them or get them to play with everybody, which sometimes they would do.
And how did Gabriel stack up as far as having to watch all four? Do you remember him specifically? Like he was the easy one?
Yes. Easy. Everybody was kind of easy. Because my father was was quite the disciplinarian.
He was.
Yes.
You get spanked?
We got beat.
Beat?
Beat down.
Belt?
Yeah. Belt, anything.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys were basically scared of your dad. Because
not basically. We were
scared. We were scared. Yes. Scared of dad.
Fear-driven.
Fear-driven. Is he still alive?
No. Passed away.
No.
Okay, and so you feel comfortable talking about
100%. And that may have something to do with crying these days because not a tear was shed by me.
Did you get emotional when your dad died?
I did, like, just because, I don't know if it was because of, like, some kind of spiritual connection, but the night of, I was at a party, and I was really emotional. I was like, oh, my God, I need to go visit my dad, and, you know, whatever. We knew he had cancer. He was dying of cancer. So I was like, oh, I need to go visit him. And then the next morning, my mom was like, oh, he just passed away. So I never, like, you know, cry, like, oh, my God, you know, because it was that kind of tough relationship where he was always really strict and didn't let us get too, he would be close at times, but at other times he didn't know how to deal with things.
What was his upbringing?
Do you know? Man, have God. You ever delved into that?
Worse than ours.
Yeah, he never really told us like everything.
My
yeah.
mother oh. told me, mom told us, me, that, and this was, I guess, to remind us that we didn't have it so bad, his mother would throw like an iron at him.
Yeah. The mom?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I didn't know about that.
When you're searching inside of your family for forgiveness or for understanding, you do end up going into realizing that it's just patterns, isn't it? It's just like sheer patterns. Yeah, and things make yeah. you what you are. Like, you guys are here.
I wish
and probably,
more people realize that.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's
within their own families and outside, because I feel like, and not to take away from what you're saying in any way, but we're so quick to judge people before realizing that,
mm-hmm.
before realizing, okay, what this person did was awful, but it doesn't stop at this person. 100%. So let's not yeah. treat it like great he point. Just invented and all these awful things.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you it's can truly understand yes. that, you find a forgiveness.
Something.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a compassion and a forgiveness that sort of happens when you think about your dad
yes.
and what he had to yes. grow up with yes. and Grandma Odo, right?
Oatsy.
Grandma Oatsy.
O-Dog.
Grandma
Oatsy oh, no.
Grandma Oatsy throwing iron. Throwing irons at your dad. Yeah. It's like, oh,
yeah.
God.
It's like, how can you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I never, you know, was angry at him or blamed him. I just kind of saw it as, I don't know. I have this thing to be able to be objective a lot, and I don't know where that comes from. But
he's Mr. kind of a little bit Mr. like, Buddha brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so, with, like, so I always just kind of was like, what's your story? Vibe. You want to know, but at a young age, you can't engage yeah. like that. You know what I mean? So
what about your mom though? I mean, I've met your mom. She's
incredible.
She's an amazing yeah. woman.
I don't know how
I want to meet your mom.
She's awesome.
Yeah. She's incredible.
But how did she deal with that? I mean, cause to she watch was, her kids, you know, go through that kind yeah. of shit. Do you have those moments where it's like, mom, like you're supposed to protect me from this shit? Never.
No, because they were on the same page. Both my parents
were.
Yeah, right there, like neck and neck, disciplinarian, you know.
Interesting.
Which honestly, yeah, I like personally, I really enjoyed. I mean, the beatings weren't something to smile about, but.
The structure.
Yeah, the structure. They were always there for us. They always loved us. They never would curse or say anything out of anger at us. So that for me was like a really beautiful place to grow up, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but yeah, your experience is way experience. Different.
It was so funny. Yeah. I love it.
I'm so happy no one had the experience that I did.
Did you have a different perspective? You know, how Gabe was like, no, I didn't look at my mom that way.
Oh, 100%.
You did.
Because I came in, it was me and my mom's.
Yeah. How old were you, by the way?
Four.
Right.
So then there was like this strange cat that was kind of forced upon me. My mother was like, you're going to take his name. I remember.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, not wanting to take his name. And I remember distinctly, she's like, hug your father. Didn't want to hug him. She made me take his middle name. So it was Scott Leo Diggs. And I remember not wanting that whole configuration, but then being forced. And then it was like, oh, me and my mom against him. And then it was me against my mom and him. And then I was just watching everything else kind of play out, because it was like they all had something in common. I didn't. So I was like the odd man out. Mm. I felt sometimes like the help, kind of. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that was, yeah, yeah.
So getting out was a good, nice thing.
100%. Yeah. Once I found out I had a little bit of talent.
Yeah. Just get me to Disney Japan.
Yeah. that was years later. That was years later. We'd actually moved away at that point. So.
You moved away.
Yeah, like our family. So we had moved from Rochester down to Mississippi at the time. So this is way, way later, because you went to Syracuse and that was separation.
Yep.
You went to Syracuse College.
Yep.
The arts, I'm assuming, became the great outlet for you.
100%.
And what part of the arts? Was it singing? Was it dance? Was it
all of it?
Acting?
All
whole
of it.
Thing.
Yep, yep. My mother, through, you know, raising us and negotiating between the stepdad and how he was disciplining everybody and her, I could tell, not really agreeing with it, but wanting to be on the same side. That's what I saw. So Gabriel saw two parents, you know, a united front.
Mm-hmm.
I could see my mother not wanting this man to beat her children.
You mean like once we came along or before?
Both. I saw it with me because he started spanking me. And I could see that she was, because she grew up very religious. Religion also plays a major part.
My Lord.
Huge part.
With your dad, with stepdad, my dad, with your stepdad, with your
with
dad,
the idea of disciplining, with the idea of my mother being, you know, on the same side as my dad, with us being a family unit and not having anybody come in between it, between us, in between us, regardless of if they were right or wrong.
Right. Mm.
There was no wrong if it came in between the family, you know what I mean?
Right. That's heavy.
So I was that's where I was coming from.
Yeah.
What were the escapes of this? Because it sounds like it was pretty.
Okay. It started with my mother. She went back to school. She waited until we were a certain age, all of us, and then went back to school, literal university, and studied theater and dance. And that's when we were exposed in a major way. We saw her happier than she's ever been.
Amazing.
We've seen, since I wasn't able to get away and hang out with my own friends, when she would bring us to her rehearsals, I would see how my mother was interacting with these crazy, carny type, you know,
personalities.
Just really funny. The girls were pretty, great bodies. They were dancing. The guys were funny. Everybody was hella
uninhibited.
You know, oh man,
the freedom,
charismatic.
Yeah.
And you, Gabriel, did you witness this stuff too?
I always say it's that slight, especially in the world of dance and things like. It's like there's a little bit of like that rebelliousness. Of,
oh,
that
totally.
We belong to a different kind of people.
Yes, nobody cared. Yep.
And did you? Did you connect to this as well? This sort of lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, just from kind of a remote, you know, really little kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. I loved it. It was just exciting. And, you know, everybody had stories to tell. And, yeah, just exciting to be, you know, behind the scenes and see all these shows. My mom did a lot of theater. And, yeah, it was incredible.
And she loved it. Did you see her? Did you see a shift in her when she started doing that? Were you too little?
Yeah. So my dad did have kind of an overbearing, kind of depressed, you know, very glum personality. And my mom is very light, you know, so when we get outside the house, it was just, the weight's lifted and everybody's happy and, you know. So, yeah, I did see that.
When Tay left, did that affect you at all?
Not really, because he always had his own. I say that to say he was at the age where he was well out of the house at this point. He was going to Syracuse, so he wasn't at home, you know what I mean? And he had all his homies, Shane, and all these amazing people. So we weren't able to hang a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. Mostly it was all the four younger kids were in elementary school. We'd walk to school every day. So that was our life. And then my brother was doing his thing. And like he said, he wanted to have his own thing anyway. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't want to go bug.
Did you visit him in Syracuse?
Not really. I think we did the initial drop off, which was really exciting. Mm-hmm.
That was it. And I didn't realize how weird it was that I didn't want to
enter.
I didn't
back
check
into
in
that,
with my mom. I didn't.
I never expected you like growing up and seeing, you know, how everybody was kind of forced under this thing. When you could go do your own thing, I was happy for it. I was like, yeah, you know, do your own thing.
Yeah.
Did you feel like a bit excited for your own version of that when you saw Tay leave the house, like one day that would be me? Did you ever have?
I wasn't even thinking about that. To me, like life has always been kind of this movie happening. Like I've never been projected like, oh, this is gonna happen and then this. I'm just like kind of watching it unfold. And I think a lot of that has to do with how managerial our parents were over everything we did. And you do this and then you do that and then you go to college and then it was only when I went to school when I first began to think, oh, I can have my own life. I can actually plan and have my own ideas and decide what I want to do.
Did you guys lose touch?
Yeah. I mean,
well,
had it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that age distance was a big part of it.
I was the babysitter. They were my little, they were my little brothers and sisters.
Right.
Now they're my friends. Do you know what I mean? But I remember, you know, when I saw them as like grown ass adults that I was, you know, that I was proud of. Mm-hmm. But up to that point, you know, it was like when I left, it didn't have that much of an effect on me. There was a moment when my mother left as well, and then I'm like, oh my God, we left them with that horrible man. How did they get through?
So mom left.
When did she leave?
She who is when it gets
yeah. Deep. So this is when we were in Mississippi and you were right. still doing Syracuse.
Yep.
Our
are you so cool to talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we moved to Mississippi. My mom was continuing her studies and got accepted at the University of Ole Miss. And so, yeah, so this is incredible because so there was this united front in Henrietta when we were younger, and then we moved to—
Between mom and dad.
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, just the whole unit.
Family.
And then we moved, we got bounced out of this house. So we got bounced out of this incredible suburb, Henrietta, and— into the inner city, into this ghetto like hood. We were like one of maybe two African American families in this. Would you
agree? In Henrietta?
Yeah.
Oh no. How many were there? I was like, I grew up thinking that black people had money.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just remember like two different families. The Dennis is at the bottom.
It's right. perspective.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. Amazing. Well, either way,
yeah.
your right. experience, you went, you, and then, so now you're in Mississippi.
Right. Well no, so, okay. So we lived in this beautiful house, nice, middle-class, neighborhood, and then moved to this hood, you know, kind of ghetto place. And that's when I think the relationship between my parents started to fray. I don't know.
Deteriorate?
Maybe okay. I'm, you know, creating whatever, things in my mind, but yeah, I saw it kind of, I think because it's like with any relationship when the exterior becomes less
right.
fun. You're looking in and like, okay,
you're
what is this?
You're forced to see what's really going on.
Yeah, and then we're growing up as kids, so all these family dynamics, you know, that you're kind of, and this is what parents have to go through.
And mom was, and now looking back, she also, I see her also as a child. She was like our father was the king and there were all the servants. And when she kind of found the arts,
mm-hmm. That she was more independent.
That became,
yes.
That became
he was never
beacon of light. Right.
Yeah.
Control goes away.
Right. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So there yeah. was that. That's when it started. And I yep. think she started to see, you know,
that there were what other ways to like, live.
And then yeah. the seed was planted.
Was he abusive to her?
I don't think so. Well, at the end, so when we moved from, okay, so it was.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. So we moved to the hood and lived there and it was a little bit tough. And then we moved to a really nice place that wasn't, you know, Henrietta, but it was in the middle of the city, but really beautiful.
Right.
Just our street was really beautiful, had a nice little community.
Right.
So things were kind of good again, but another big part of it was the religious side that we talked about. And my dad kind of went off on this real strange religious tangent.
Purple flame?
Yep. And my mom wasn't so on board anymore. It was cool when it was just going to church, you know, Sundays, yeah. Christianity. But my dad got kind of on this vision quest, you know, spiritual mission and wanted to bring all of us with him. And so my mom was like, I don't know if I'm in with it that much, you know.
Yeah.
So that was that. And you know, all these years later, I guess you don't know because my dad never had a psychiatrist. You know, parents had, you know. But I think he had mental health issues that he was dealing with the whole way.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he became, there was an extreme element to his religious.
100%. Yeah, it became extreme. And then I think for my mom, it was discovery as well.
Well, it was, yeah. And from my perspective, it was always extreme. He got fired from jobs.
Did you feel like as kids that you had to kind of tiptoe around him? Like what you didn't know, like what it could be great or it could be like disastrous?
100%.
For me, it was just like the stuff we got in trouble for was bad stuff. You know, well, bad stuff, like, you know, not coming home on time or stealing stuff.
Funny. Or not turning on the porch light.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Okay.
It was stuff like that.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So.
Right. Okay.
Two different perspectives.
You didn't know when he was going to blow up. Basically.
In Mississippi. No.
And it wasn't like screaming. It was very concentrated, very deliberate.
Yeah.
A deliberate beating.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Uniformed.
There was no losing of the tempers and screaming. I told you not.
Nope.
Everything was very justified. You did this.
That's it.
I told you not to.
So you never had a father figure that wrapped his arms around you and said, I love you no matter what.
I got that. Like
from him?
Yeah. So that was why I think in my mind, I've always been okay. Is that there was always that love and closeness and, you know, I always felt loved.
Mm-hmm.
So the beating and stuff was just like a horrifying thing that would happen, but it was never lasting as far as, you know.
So then your mom ended up leaving him.
Yeah. So we moved to the hood and then to this nice house and then the religious things were starting to cause a rift between them. And my dad wasn't even like my brother said, he lost jobs, you know, trying to do, because he was like, man, he had a, he was an architect, he was in the Air Force, he had cars, you know, girlfriends, all this kind of thing. And then just later in life, mind just started to go this way and just really, you know. Yeah, so that, you know, so my mom's hanging out with people who don't have these issues. It's fun. It's college. You're doing plays. Everybody's cool. But having that and kind of spreading her wings as an artist, something she always wanted to do since she was a kid, and her mom wouldn't let her do. So she's getting all this expression and freedom. And then to come home to this guy who doesn't know how to exist and have a job and, you know, make ends meet. We were on welfare. You know, my dad was going on getting food stamps and all this. So for her, it just was like, okay, yeah, this is not the kind of reality I want to be in. So they were going to split up. Just remembering this. They were going to split up before we moved to Mississippi. But that move was like, oh, if we move, maybe things will be better.
I did not know that.
Fresh start. Yeah. So anyway, so it just kind of.
So that, she upped that and deteriorated. Left. That, so then she left and she left you with death.
It felt like she just jetted. All of a sudden, she was with a new dude. All the I call them the kids, were just with my dad.
So we were living in this trailer when we first moved to Mississippi. It was like the cheapest thing they could get. And then my dad was always this kind of charismatic guy who could influence people. Hustler. And get them to do. Yeah. So we got us moved into this like incredible house out in the countryside with cows and, you know, land and all this. So we were there, and then it was good for a time. Then I think once again the rift started. Your mom, my dad was trying to go to university, trying to shadow my mom and her enthusiasm for you know, education and all this, but it just didn't last. And so the distance between them was growing and growing. And you know, my mom had people she could kind of lean on outside of that, and was just like, I don't, you know, I'm an adult now. I don't know if it has to be like this way, you know, forever. So she left and moved in with this one dude who wasn't a great guy, unfortunately. For me, my own perspective, I always see things as an adventure. So whenever there's something new, I'm like, oh, this will be something new. And
Gabriel, somebody's like, it's just another adventure.
Yeah, another adventure.
Mom's with another dude.
Yeah, I was excited for her. I was like, hey,
she's like, this
new,
is great, you know? Mom.
He literally was given like this shield of light.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Is that just your true essence? Or is there a part of you that uses that sort of as a shield, as a deflection, as a defense to sort of some of the real deep shit that you might be feeling or not knowing you're feeling, or
you don't know. I guess you don't know until you know, meet someone or in a certain situation. But from my perspective, like I said, I've always, I don't know if you have previous lives or what,
but I believe you do.
Yeah.
And I believe somebody has blessed you. You know, something is.
I kind of believe it. I believe
a little bit of both.
In many lives.
But, yeah, you've got there is a Buddha quality over here to my right with Gabe.
Yeah. I never took it too personal, I think, is what I want to get to, where I would just be like, okay, I'm in this situation. I can't leave. You know, it's family. I have to stay. And, you know, these are my brothers, sisters. And the fact that I was loved so deeply, I think that just kind of forced out any other kind of feelings or feelings of, you know, sorry for myself or whatever. You know what I mean? That's the thing I remember most, is just all the love and all the excitement and adventures. And yes, you know, beatings are, you know, horrific. And not something you want to think about, but for me, it was just something that happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't cool, but it happened. And
are you two the closest of the siblings?
I am the. I feel like I'm the closest to Gabe because of we were both in LA, and there was a moment where we were very, very close, where he was kind of like my assistant when I first started coming to LA.
Yeah. For me, it was like this it was this rediscovery thing after, because I didn't know you as a person, you know. So growing up, he was a big brother. We always looked up to him, like, oh, he's got cool friends and he can play soccer and tennis. Like he was in everything, man. And performing on stage, you know. So for me, it was just like
pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was this incredible thing.
It's so sweet that your little brother looking up to you like that.
And he would take us to the pool and like all this stuff.
No one, I mean, you know, there's someone. I want to be like you.
Yeah. I look up to you.
Thank you,
Oliver. There's things we look up to, like your freestyling ability.
It's incredible.
It's pretty good.
You're rhyming.
Yeah, I can rhyme. Okay.
I think on one of the trips, I think my brother discovered my personality.
Yeah.
Because you have all the kids together and you're all this one thing. And then when I.
Nobody makes me laugh like. Because he remembers the crazy stuff. But he had, like, you know, he allows me to laugh at it instead of like, oh, it was so awful.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got the imitations of our stepdad, just how moments, how we all felt when he would enter a room. Like, we can laugh at it, and nobody, it's like there's me, and then there's two and two. Gabriel and Shalom, they are the most similar. I feel like some spirit came down and just blessed. They're so bright and shining and effervescent. Mm. And then we have Christian and Michael, and they're a little bit more intense.
More emotional, things, prone to swings.
Things touch them differently, more so than they touched even me. Mm-hmm. And those two,
are they close?
Seem to be having, no, because I think they're a little too similar.
Okay.
I feel like they are the furthest. I feel like they're the, where I slipped into my child lisp just then.
Oh,
the furthest. Yeah,
he's reverting. He's
so crazy. This is the most. This is the most I've talked about. Being a little kid. Oh my God, you guys!
At the end,
I had speech.
I did too.
This is fucked up. Oh, at the end of the podcast, Kate's gonna be like, Tess is like,
I know.
He's gonna be breastfeeding.
You're gonna be like at my teeth.
Oh my God.
Tay's like, you don't need to pump anymore.
It's okay, Tay.
Jesus.
No, that's so funny.
What's your relationship like now? Okay, you're seeing each other right now. When was the last time you saw each other? Other than
like Saturday.
You caught us on a good. In a
swing.
Good month,
right,
yeah, because
okay.
I just saw him a couple of days ago. But I still get caught up in, and you know, and I attribute this to growing up, to kind of forgetting that he's here, just getting caught up, and then realizing, oh man, Gabe's here. I need to call him up just because I wanted to get I was like forcing myself to just focus on me for so long that I'll go weeks without connecting. And I have guilt about that, but Gabe's always,
and you
do my thing.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. So after he went off to school, it was like, okay, he's going to his thing, older brother. But then as I was maturing and becoming more of an adult, and I think we connected, we were writing, he would write everybody letters, but then I'd write back. And I think you saw my letters like, oh, this guy's, you know, what's going on here?
He's brilliant.
And
he's
so,
brilliant.
Yeah. And so then we connected. And then when I graduated from college, I moved to New York I wanted to be a DJ, you know, so I moved to New York. I was like, oh, I could maybe start there, you know, major city. And then my brother was like, oh, you know, you're not going to be getting jobs right out of the gate. Maybe I could hire you as my personal assistant. You know, I was like, oh, that sounds like another adventure. I was like, yeah. And so, so for me, it was incredible re-meet and really getting to know you for the first time.
At what point did Tay start to become someone that your friends say would know that, like, oh, is that your brother, you know? Or,
oh,
like, how
I think
old
in
were you?
College college, I want to say.
I like this line we're going down. Like, so when did he become a celebrity?
When you started working for him as his assistant, how established was Tay?
Really established. He was well into his career.
Was this
point.
Like Stella Got Her Groove Back
nope,
established?
This was when he was doing Equilibrium with Christian Bale.
White movies. I was doing white movies then, too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, so he was already.
I love white movies.
There.
Did you feel like, of course, to you? Was it like, of course, Tay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just seeing everything he had done from School of the Arts in Rochester. I mean,
family
he was a
really
superstar.
Good job.
He was a superstar. He was like the most famous person at School of the Arts, you know, and then the most famous people at Syracuse, and then Broadway, and you know what I mean. So we always were like, yeah, he's gonna do.
Did
big
you
things.
Ever have any envy or jealousy?
No. Like, not
Never.
Even a little bit. Not even, no.
Oliver.
And you know what? I normally
me
would,
too.
Talk I would
to
doubt
Gabe,
that.
Talk, Gabe, talk to
but
Oliver
Gabriel,
about this.
But with Gabriel, I know that he's not. I know that that's true. And I know that's no psychological. I know that he's
no,
not.
And by the way, I think. I know honest. That. I honestly think that's a rarity. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
How long do you guys go without talking to each other? Because I know that it seems like you do go. It's like. You're not in each other's lives every day.
No. But we were.
You were assisting him. So you became his assistant.
Your
roommates.
Housemates.
So then what happened? Then why is there it's a comfortable break? Meaning like if you don't talk for a couple of weeks, does it happen a couple of weeks where you're in LA, you don't even talk.
And then
and
we
it's
check
cool.
in.
It's just what it is.
And then I mean, we one of us will make it a point to see each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, but a couple of weeks, unless quiet, please. Just what?
The cool thing is, so my brother, he's always got projects and, you know, your family, and he's working hard doing his thing. And then on my end, I'm working on my own thing, you know, getting things going. So now I just feel pressure to do that and work as much as I can on getting my projects off the ground and do this. So, and then the times we do spend together are just incredible. You know, we go on vacation, you know.
So you got into music. Mm-hmm. So that became your... Okay.
At a young age. So this is the cool thing about both of our...
I mean, yes,
parents.
He got into music.
Well,
he got into music.
Well, no. Well, okay. So let me explain why I say no. When we were really little... Our parents put us into music and put us into, they call it ORF class, where you go and learn how to play xylophone and then go and play a recorder. And so they put us into lives as musicians and artists at a very young age. And so we were on that track. And then going to college, I didn't know what I wanted to be. And my mom was like, oh, you write good poems. Maybe you should be an English major. You know, I was like, oh, okay. And so that was my college pursuit. And then senior year, I went to London for overseas studies and just ended up in a nightclub dancing. And I right then, I was like, I stopped dancing. I was like, oh, wait, I think I'm going to do this for a living. It's like this weird epiphany thing. But it all kind of came to fruition because of growing up in music and playing horn and bands and all this, all the way up through college.
Did you play any instrument?
Yeah, trumpet.
So you owe your trumpet. Okay, amazing.
Yeah. So I've been a musician my whole life, just not... You know, as a profession or something I said I was going to do, you know, for a career, it was going to be doing English and then see what happened after. And then going overseas to London was like the trigger for that.
And then and how old were you then? Because you've been doing music for a long time.
Yeah. So my whole life around music, and my parents would play music in the house and just incredible.
But you got into DJing.
Right. So DJing specifically after London.
Nightclub, doing beats,
producing, like the whole nine yards.
And are you still doing that?
Yes.
And you love that's it. All that's I do. All you do.
I love it.
And radio?
When I first moved out to LA, have you guys heard of KCRW? Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
When I first moved here, people were like, oh, you like drum and bass and dance music. There's this one station you should hear. And they would never say exactly what it was. They're like, oh, we don't know the coup. It's like 89 point something, whatever. And one night I was just driving and I heard this song. I was like, oh my God, this is it. I pulled over. I was like, whoa. And it was KCRW. And so I finally discovered it like a year after somebody told me about it. And I went down there.
So then you started at KCRW.
Right. So somebody said, oh, well, the way you get on the radio is you go down there to volunteer. And so I went down. I signed up to be a volunteer. I didn't hear back from them for like a year. You know, I signed up, didn't hear anything. A year later, they're like, oh, are you still interested in doing this? I was like, yes. So went down there, volunteered, did some voiceover work with them. They would say, hey, come here. You know, you got a good voice. Get in here and talk about this. And then left to do my own podcast. I started my own music podcast, kind of in the vein of KCRW, but a little bit more dance electronic. Mm-hmm. And then after that, kind of got a little tired of the LA scene DJing. I was doing a residency at the Roosevelt Hotel, the Tropicana, which is incredible, like every Saturday. And then got tired of the music scene stateside and was like, oh, I'd been to Ibiza with my brother when we were doing Equilibrium. See, my brother's incredible because he...
I was listening to some of your music and I thought, you know, this sounds like you like a little Europe house.
Sure. Yeah.
No, that's, drop that's the foam.
The foam party game.
So my brother was like, there's been people all throughout my life who have kind of seen me and said, oh, okay, this guy's got something. Let's push him that way. Let's do this. You know, always there's been people. My mom, you know, my dad. And so when I graduated, my brother took me on this crazy journey over to Europe to film the movie every weekend from Berlin because it was freezing in Berlin. It was snowing, you know. We would hop a plane to Milan, to Ibiza, you know, everywhere. So that was my first. Yeah, it was incredible.
That was awesome.
What movie was this?
Equilibrium with Christian Bale and...
Sean Bean, Emily Watson.
Oh,
Bill Fichtner.
Really cool. It was like a version of like the Matrix with the gun katas and karate.
Like Fahrenheit 451 or something, right?
Yeah.
And you guys would go every weekend and go somewhere new.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So that was like
what time of year was this?
Like November.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. Just freezing.
It's good stuff.
Did you guys hold hands ever?
No.
We hugged a lot.
Yeah.
Told each other we loved each other.
You did?
Yeah. We were tight.
Yeah. So getting what back happened? To what I was saying about
I'm kidding.
What?
Yeah, no, what happened? But so growing up in a household where everything was orchestrated and tightly knit, and you're told how to feel and what your relationships with each other were supposed to be, it was incredible for me rediscovering you afterwards, getting out of that, you know, first discovering myself going into school, but then discovering you as a person and saying, oh, you know, this is who this guy really is. We don't, you know, not who dad says you should be or take care of us or whatever. So, yeah. So that's just, I think a lot of families experience that to a greater
That's cool. But so in a sense, Tay helped you in a way.
He was like my sponsor.
Who you were.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's
what I said. Without you even really knowing it. You know what I mean? Like, those are moments where it's like, oh, wow. And because of this experience, I've sort of understood more who I am.
I tell him that all the time. I try to tell everybody in my life, thank you for doing, you know, well. We talk about perspective. So my mom's perspective on raising us, she feels so guilty for how some of the siblings responded and leaving us with dad and all this. And I'm like, oh, I'm always like, oh no, mom, it's incredible. You're the most amazing mom ever. You know, don't feel too bad. So it's all about perspective. It's all about experience.
And everything that happens obviously informs where you're at now.
Yes.
In terms of how you see yourself, were you an outgoing type? Were you more introverted? Were you extroverted?
I was all of it. I was both. I won't say I was. It was two sides, both. And I think both sides equally contributed to where I am today and to the positives of my life and the negatives. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was very, very shy, very nerdy, very slight, very insecure up until a certain age. The arts helped. But then deep down inside, I remember always wanting, I always remember wanting to stand up to our father and never being able to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that kind of manifested itself somehow into the arts. Always wanted to be the guy that was on stage. Always wanted to be the funny guy cracking all the jokes instead of the guy that was getting made fun of. And then through the arts, I literally was given the gift to be that guy. So then once there was no looking back. You know, and then once I was introduced to the gym and I could have control over how I looked as well, it was a fucking wrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was
for a
done.
Lot of Did you ever girls, get the chance?
Yeah, for a lot of girls too.
I still
and
have
a lot
issues.
Of guys.
Like, there's a lot of girls, you know, and a lot of including guys. Myself. I was like, Tay Day? All of your friends are Tay Day.
You could have got it. She could have got it. You could have got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't be embarrassed.
No, for sure. It's okay. She chose Scott Kahn instead.
Oliver. Okay, so you found freedom in the arts.
Yes.
You were just born free.
Did you ever get the chance to stand up to your...
Wait, but...
No, this was senior year, and I had been exposed enough to after school. I had spent enough time away from my younger brothers and sisters that I was feeling myself.
Right.
Like, and mom probably gave a little bit help too, right? Because she was...
Well, she was always supportive, always, and always told me that I was going to be... My father actually did this as well. Regardless of our... in spite of our relationship, he was always... In the moment, it was awful, but he was always like, you're going to be great.
Right, positive reinforcement all the time.
There was never a doubt.
You know?
There was never a doubt for me. Like, everybody knew that I was going to do it, so I knew I was going to do it. And it took a lot of pressure off. But I remember something happened where I was late, I got punished, but then it wasn't my fault. And I on the ride home, I knew I was going to get punished, and I was thinking up this whole... Oh, my God, I remember it all. I had this whole thing. I was going to come in, and you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. And my friend was late, and I didn't call because boom, and I was going to... And I was going to, stomp up the stairs. And I remember my dad, he used to have these trays. He would eat his dinner on trays. In front of the TV, and I walked in, stormed in, and I interrupted my mom. I was, no, I got something to say. And I remember my dad like looked up. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. Because I was, you know, it hit me. And he laughed at me.
Oh,
he said, really? look at you.
No.
Ooh. Oh, man.
That was the one. And that
where
was
were
the
we?
Start.
I don't remember anything like that.
But
I
here's
can't.
The thing. Oh.
He laughed at me.
But you know what?
My goodness.
Wow.
That's a great, by the way, it's also a great, it's a great scene in a movie. Oh, I just have to say it's a great moment in a movie. But it also says so much about your nature.
Right.
Because you're sensitive.
Right. Oh my God.
And emotional.
Yeah.
There was so much.
Right.
There was so much.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could see the finish line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I knew I was going to college. Like I was out of there.
Right.
Which is the only reason I convinced myself that I could do it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it was, there was no way. It was like, so I couldn't fit it all through that little tiny straw.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And do you have any regrets that you didn't stand up to him, or does you even think about that?
Yeah, you know what? This whole thing about, you know, I wouldn't change anything. Right. Fuck that.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that it made me who I am.
So funny.
I would change so much.
Okay.
Because it sucked.
I want you to talk about that.
I would never want to repeat, you know, I think about my son. Literally, like, would I want my son to go through what I... No.
Right.
No. So if I don't want it for my son, I wouldn't want it for me. It's two different things. I get that it shaped me,
yeah,
and I'm appreciative. If I had the chance to go back and change it, hell fucking yes.
And what would you change?
Most of it.
Gabe, would you change anything if you could?
I wouldn't. I mean, I'm very happy the way things turned out. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't change. Like, I feel so blessed to have been put on the path, you know, the life path that I've been on. And I don't know if going back and removing...
I feel that too.
He makes me want to cry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh.
Don't start feeling insecure that you brought your brother.
And I think it could have been...
I'm kidding.
From my perspective...
I mean, no, let me talk to you. I'm
just kidding. He's like, I'm on the path too. I'm on the path too. I like my path.
I'm enlightened. It's as simple as it sucked. Would you want it to not suck? I would want it to not suck.
Right.
I get it. I love who I am. I wouldn't change who I am now.
Please don't.
You know what I mean?
You look great. Well, I just want to set this up for all the women out there who we haven't done this yet. Gabe, forgive me, but you know, your brother's a bit of a heartthrob. In fact, every woman who works for me was like, can I please come to
the table? I'm single.
But I just want to set it
mingle.
Up. He's got some Aviator Nation sweats on right now. Yeah, looking really
$485
comfortable.
$485 sweatpants.
A camo sweatshirt that's very nicely tight around his muscles.
Soft.
He's got some turquoise beads on his arms, which leads me to think there is some spiritual.
These are from your mother's birthday party.
No way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
I've never found them in this color, and now they're part of their. Yeah. Awesome.
And he just took his hat off, which led me to want to say this, and his head is just like perfectly, beautifully shaved. And it's round.
He does look amazing.
And gorgeous. And all I want to do is rub it. And all the women out there. I'm gonna rub Tay Diggs.
Okay, hold on.
Head.
Now
it's okay.
Now will you describe me?
No, it's disgusting.
I will.
Oliver with
wonderful hoodie.
And then, so what was it like for you when you started to actually get jobs and feel that kind of validation from the business and for what you wanted to do?
I graduated college, and you know. Very exaggerated sense of just confidence. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, I knew I was going to make it, quote unquote. And I was just like, how is it going to happen? I remember I was living with like six people on the Upper East Side and got a survival job at a Pizzeria Uno. And I remember I didn't realize it at the time, but I had anxiety. So I knew I couldn't handle waiting tables. Because I got that would stress me out. So I was a host, and at a host at Pizzeria Uno, I told the two other women, I'm going to be out of here in a year. I'm going to either have a Broadway show, my own television show, or a movie. And they laughed and said, oh, that's cute. That's because one of them had been there for a while. One of them was a ballet dancer and actress. And in 6 months, I got my first Broadway show. And I was like, peace. I told y'all, bitches.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't Rent, was it?
That was
earlier.
Yeah, that was Carousel.
Okay.
And it was in the ensemble. I was like, okay, I understudy. I was like, it's a start.
Yeah.
And then I went to Japan, Tokyo, Japan, to make money.
That was the time
Disney.
Of your life.
Disney, yes. Right.
That's
yep.
when it all happened. In my eyes, that's when Tay became a star. It's Tokyo Disney.
Nobody understood why. I was like, I'm going to make it. Like, I just want to go and travel a little bit. And they were like, you're on the Broadway. You're on this Broadway train. Why would you stop the momentum? And I'm like,
he's like, I have to play Goofy.
No, it's Sebastian.
See, Gabriel's got my back.
You were Sebastian from Little Mermaid? Yeah. Didn't Sebastian have an accent?
Yes. Mina de uta de kudasa. Mi mind on fire. Mi soul on fire. Feeling.
Oh my God.
That's it. You saw the video, right?
You show me the video.
Awesome.
I have to see this.
You need to. It's brilliant. So anyway, when I felt like, okay, I'm here, it was when I got How Stella Got Her Groove Back, when I was like a lead, you know, with Angela Bassett. That's when I was like, okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so ambitious that immediately I was like, okay, I remember, this is what fucked me up. I saw Matt Damon on the cover of Vanity Fair. And I was like, I want that. Mm. Start submitting me for the white shit. And I didn't realize how racist the business was. Mm-hmm. And I just kept moving agencies because nobody would say, we can't, they're not going to see you like this. Mm-hmm. And I just, everybody was telling me that, of course, we see it as this and we see it as that.
But you didn't see that at the time.
No, because up to now, it was just easy.
Yeah.
I did not have to work.
Yeah.
Work was fun. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You were talented. That's it. Yeah. At the end of the day, you were getting jobs.
And I could see it. I could see where I could
fit
in.
Pure talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's no reason I can't be doing that shit. Mm-hmm. Can I be doing? Yes, you absolutely can. Mm-hmm. No, we got you submitted for this, that. Nobody would be like, yo, it's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. We'll try. Mm-hmm. If somebody had just been honest and been like, it's a little by, you know, then I would have stayed at CAA.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally moved to every single agency until finally I was like, oh man. All right. And I kind of started again. But that was, to answer your question in a long-winded way, that first big movie, How Stella Got Her Groove Back. But there was never that, I'm here. It was never that. It was always like, okay.
You always felt like you were hustling.
Do you have that feeling now?
Not
that you're here, but you're content.
In a different way. Now I'm like really excited to branch out.
Yeah, I feel that.
I'm with you there. Let's talk about that for a second. Like, how do you feel about the industry where we are now?
I mean, you know, and this also I attribute to just my spiritual journey. You know, at the end of the day, none of that really matters. If it did matter, you know, I there's a part of me that's like, you guys, we've been here the whole time.
Mm.
Like, don't pat yourself on the back too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Like, motherfucker, we've been here.
Mm-hmm.
You're just now, Black Panther, just not like, so there's a little bit of that. I love that I don't want to be Will Smith anymore. I love that I can just release that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I love
the
TV gig. Yeah. Give me some cash.
Yeah.
Let me come home, pick up my dude. Right. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
But there was a hustle when I was like, I'm going to be Will Smith.
There was a
Will
time
Smith.
When, you know, you were reaching for something.
If Will Smith can do it, let me do it. I can maybe do it a little better. There was that time. I remember.
Did you audition for the Aladdin movie? It's a simple yes or no question, Tay.
I was not approached.
Okay.
But I'm very excited. If anybody can do it, Will Smith can.
He can. He's going to be amazing.
He's my hero, real.
This can all go back to how we were raised and the things that we do in our life to try to prove something, not necessarily realizing that the fuel might be coming from a place that we don't recognize when we're younger.
Sure.
And then you reach a certain point in your life where you go, I don't want to reach for that anymore because it maybe I was doing that for, I mean, always the right, you know, the right reasons.
No,
but maybe what was fueling it is something you don't want to, you just don't want to connect to anymore.
Sure,
you want to connect to things that, like you said, is more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Your son.
Yeah.
What are the craziest things that you might have ever done to each other? But I think that because you guys.
No.
Okay, good.
Do you have
these
something?
Things are ongoing. So my brother would always, I was always afraid of like insects and stuff growing up. And my brother clued into that.
Insects.
insects, like
not
ants,
not
spiders.
Insects.
Insects. Okay. Not insects.
And so my brother would get like dead ants and dead spiders and put them near me. He'd be like, "It's dead. What are you freaking out for, man?"
He would scream like a banshee.
Oh my god!
With and what was funny to me was,
can I ask one question real quick?
Yes.
What is a banshee?
I don't know. Okay. Something that screams.
Continue. Yeah.
And for me, what makes something scary is the fact that it's moving and maybe it could crawl on you or bite you. It tripped me out that something dead could still give Gabriel this fear.
I just thought it might come to life because spiders were always very still anyway.
That's true.
And then they would bust and you're like, oh, it's me.
And he's so like today, Gabriel's so centered and with the low voice and he's tall and just enlightened. And to think back at the time when we would be like, Gabriel. There wouldn't even have to be one. We could say that there was one behind
him.
There's
a bug.
And he would scream so loud one time. Oh, wait, what's the time I made you drink pee or something?
This is like when Oliver pinned me to... Oliver loved like making me pee myself.
I tickled her.
Oh, really?
I tickled her to the point of peeing. And he'd I do it to Ryder now, too. It's genetic. her son. I tickle him. He pees immediately. I'm like, this is amazing. I didn't think this was going to happen later on in life.
Oh, God.
Tormenting younger siblings. Yes.
Advice for brothers listening who may not get along or who may not even be speaking currently.
Oh,
it seems, you know, it's just put behind you. It's not worth it. Know that the biggest thing I think is to just take a minute and step outside yourself. Mm. And once you take that away, whatever that person, whether it's true or false, whatever that person says the experience is that's their experience. Mm. And to respect
right.
that.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Even if you know they're lying through their teeth, something has happened that is making that person lie through their teeth, and respect that.
Mm-hmm.
That is
I think
huge.
Too, and a lot of times it's not necessarily about you. It's about them.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's about them. Don't make it about
you. This is not about me.
Whenever
this is
anybody's
about you,
holding
and
a
I'm
grudge,
here for you when
yes,
you're ready.
Yes.
You know?
And that is that's I'm keep, still dealing with that with our younger brother.
Yeah, keep them in that positive space and let them figure
Much
their
easier
stuff
said
out.
Than done.
I know.
But to respect whatever that sibling went through.
Who calls the other more? Just generally.
You call me more.
Okay.
Because
Yeah.
Why? Because
he doesn't have voicemail or something. It's
I
only
know.
Text.
Yeah,
or whatever,
he
so,
texting.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't.
Do you guys ever argue? And if you
we
do,
have, we debate.
You debate.
Yeah.
Is there someone who gets sort of the last word in that argument?
It's not. Yeah. It just seems like it just kind of dissipates.
Yeah.
I think we have so much fun together.
Yeah. We're both very understanding, and we want to make
sure we're both very strong and opinionated.
Yeah.
But we're willing to kind of release that because it's not about that.
I like this one, actually, because it's one thing you would change about your sibling, but it's almost like it doesn't have to be negative, meaning like if I could give Gabriel one thing, I wish that he would do this. Like, is there anything about each other that you would change or you would say, man, I wish
more of,
I wish you were more of this.
Or I wish you accepted this about yourself. Like,
I have no idea. I don't know the industry that Gabe's in. I just know how talented he is. Mm-hmm. And I know that with DJing, there's like a game you have to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabe refuses to play that game. Mm-hmm. Selfishly, for myself, I just want, because he's better than these guys. I want him to play the game so he can have that success. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Cool.
For me. I would never ask him to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could magically, and this is strictly for selfish reasons, just because I want him to have everything he's so content now that, you know, I want to gift him that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if he, you know, there, if he just,
you could do a wire transfer to him.
He's like,
that's funny.
It's that dead face, like straight face.
All right, what about you, Gabe?
Well, yeah. So I just want my brother to see that the sun will always come out, you know, even if it's kind of cloudy.
All right. Oh, Gabe.
Yeah, because I'm always able to see, even on a rainy day, I'm always just able to see it's going to get better. So
yeah,
that's it. Like,
Jesus Christ!
And you got such good
I know
support.
You probably think that, but
no, it's a struggle for me. when it's raining, I don't feel good when it's raining. And I want the sun to come out of me.
This is true. All right. I love you guys. Gave we all got to go. I love you so much. All
right. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.